Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Nebuchadnezzar's dream as we pick up in Daniel chapter 2, verse 4. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
O King, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, I have forgotten it. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation, you'll be cut to pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive from me gifts, rewards, great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king just tell the servants his dream, and we will show you the interpretation. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see that I have forgotten the dream. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. And the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, look, there's not a man on the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that has asked such things of any of his magicians or astrologers or Chaldeans. Ah, oh, come on, king. You know, let's be fair. No man knows what a man dreams. No man can show you this. Look in history. No king has ever demanded such a ridiculous thing from his counselors. It's a rare thing that the king requires. There's none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, they were dealing with the wrong man because Nebuchadnezzar was a hothead. He was always becoming angry and very furious until his conversion. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious. And he commanded that all of the wise men be destroyed. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now, we notice the tremendous power of Nebuchadnezzar. Autocratic control. He was the final word. His word was law. He could order these men all eliminated, cut them to pieces. His word was law. When we get into the next empire, as we get into chapter 5 and 6, as we get into the Medo-Persian Empire, we notice that when the king made a decree and signed it, that he was subject then to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which once a decree had been signed, it could not be changed. He did not have the same type of autocratic control and power as did Nebuchadnezzar. Probably no man has been vested with so much power in the history of mankind as was Nebuchadnezzar. So much control over the world and over the lives of people. That is why in the interpretation of his dream, he said, your kingdom will be replaced by an inferior kingdom, not inferior as far as strength. For the Medo-Persian Empire was very powerful and a very wealthy, but as far as the control by the king, much less. He was subject to the laws of the land, whereas Nebuchadnezzar was the law himself. His word became law. So he was very furious. He ordered the execution of his wise men, and Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, who was the captain of the king's guard, who was commissioned to go out and to slay all of the wise men. And he said to Arioch, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in, and he desired of the king that he would give him a little time. Then he promised to show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel went into the king and he said, "Look, give me a little time. I'll come and I'll tell you the dream and the interpretation." Then he went to his buddies and said, "Hey, it's time for a prayer meeting, fellas. We got to get some information, you know, our necks are on the line." Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now, it is, I think, important to the story and for us to know that Daniel, at this point, was probably around 19 or 20 years of age. He was probably around 16 years old when he was carried as a captive to Babylon. Just a very young man. Just a very young man when he purposed in his heart he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. It shows that somewhere along the line, Daniel had excellent training in the ways of God and in the things of God. That even by the age of 16, these things were so deeply embedded that as he is carried away to a far country, where he is away from the influences, the spiritual influences under which he grew up, still he maintains such integrity in spiritual matters. Absolutely glorious to behold. And to realize that even as a very young man, he had such high principles, high ideals. And the depth of his spiritual character is expressed here after God reveals to him the dream and the interpretation. As we read Daniel's response to God and realize here's just a young man in a far country, but he shows such depth of spiritual character. Daniel answered the Lord and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for you have now made known unto us the king's matter." And this to me is just a marvelous expression of praise and thanksgiving unto God, which shows a real depth of spiritual character in such a young man. I think that a lot of times we perhaps think, well, you know, he's too young to really have much spiritual maturity or to be able to share much in spiritual things. But I look at Daniel, I look at Jeremiah, these young men who started their ministry so early, and the depth of spiritual understanding that they had, even while young. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and makes known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now, first of all, make note that Daniel does not take personal credit for the interpreting of the dream. King says, I understand you can make known to me the dream and the interpretation. Daniel says, look, the wise men, the astrologers, none of them can do it, but there's a God in heaven who reveals things. And he gives credit to God for the interpretation, for the understanding and interpretation of the dream. I think that this is something that if anyone is at all interested in becoming involved in the work of the Lord, it is important to note this particular aspect of Daniel. That he was not about to take credit for what God had done. He immediately points to God as the source, and he gives credit to God. He does not let the king give him credit or give him honor, but he points the king to God. There's a God in heaven who reveals things, and he has made known. Secondly, the dream is for the latter days. So it is a dream that has prophetic significance. The things that are going to come to pass here on the earth. But as for me, now notice he's not taking credit. As for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than anyone else. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. God didn't do this for me because I'm something special, because I have anything over anybody else. He's not trying to exalt himself in this at all. He does seek to exalt God, but not seeking to promote or exalt himself. And so important for anyone involved in any kind of ministry, not to try to exalt yourself, but to just seek to bring glory to God. Now, he tells the king what he dreamed. But notice, he said, thou, O king, saw and behold a great image. And this image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was awesome. So you saw this great image, awesome, bright. The image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part of clay. And you were watching till a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So this was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that troubled him. This is the dream, Daniel said, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O King, art a King of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all, for thou art this head of gold. Now, we skipped a verse, and it is an important verse. I'm going to go back to it. Verse 29. He said, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that reveals secret is made known unto thee what shall come to pass. Before Nebuchadnezzar had gone to sleep, he was wondering in his mind, what's going to happen to the world? What does the future hold? And so this dream pertains to the future. God is in this dream giving him history in advance as he lays out the kingdoms that would rule over the earth. The first world governing empire, the Babylonian Empire, the head of gold. But after thee, there shall arise another kingdom that is inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which will bear rule over all the earth. Notice these are world dominating empires bearing rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all things shall it break in pieces and bruise, and whereas you saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly weak or brittle. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That is, there would not be a monarchy, but there would be more of a democracy kind of a thing, a confederacy of states, but not a strong dictatorship or monarchy as such. You saw the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, the interpretation is sure. So, this great image, the head of gold representing the Babylonian Empire, the first world dominating empire, which was to be replaced by an inferior empire, the arms and chests of silver, or the Medo-Persian Empire, which was to be replaced by the brass stomach, or the Grecian Empire, which was to be supplanted by the legs of iron, the Roman Empire. But then he saw the feet of iron and clay with 10 toes. Weaker than just the iron because you have the mixture of iron and clay. Not a strong monarchy, but more of a confederacy. And yet it is related to the Roman Empire because it is part iron. So because of this, and of course the subsequent vision of Daniel in chapters 7 and 8, in which Daniel declares that the second empire will be the Medo-Persian and the third would be the Grecian. And of course, we know from history that the fourth was the Roman Empire. Bible scholars for years have been looking for a confederacy of European nations to join together with treaties that would become and will become the final world governing empire. Since the Roman Empire, there has not been a world governing empire. It was, of course, Hitler's dream to become a world ruler. And he sought to establish a world governing empire through the super race. But he never accomplished his dream.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 2 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord watch over you as you go. May His hand be upon your life for good. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and fill you with His Holy Spirit, that you might walk in His love, that you might be an instrument through which He works His work of love in a world that is filled with hate and suspicion. May your life be as a light shining in a dark place, bringing hope to those who sit in darkness, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
God is looking for someone that He can use to accomplish His purposes on this earth. The apostles were more than willing to be used by the Lord. So what was it that gave them the certain spiritual characteristics necessary to be used by God and to be a powerful, godly influence to change the world? Well, in a book entitled The Man God Uses, Pastor Chuck Smith brings the scriptures to life as he examines the book of Acts. He reveals the secret to the apostles' boldness, the five essential components of prayer, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever wanted to accomplish more for the kingdom of God and to be an instrument that He can use, then I encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, The Man God Uses. To order a copy of this book in print or download a digital copy, please visit thewordfortoday.org or call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.